This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-ma'uthi rahmatan lil alameen, nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim ma ba'd. Today, which is the 6th of Jumad al-Ula, 1446 years after the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Mecca to Medina, which is equivalent to November 8, 2024. First of all, Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much for granting me this opportunity to be in this university for the first time. I know your predecessors, they have been trying to bring me here, but I wasn't sure about the environment I'm going to meet, so I always decline. So this time around, I see it necessary to come and visit the place to see my brothers and sisters here, and also to see what I can share with you guys to contribute to the learning process in this university. I'm really happy with this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are, and protect you and preserve you and grant you better than what you're looking for. I believe the topic given to me is one of the most important topics to be discussed in this time of ours. And as the brother mentioned, it is a very wide and broad topic. We can only scratch the surface. So I will try to be very concise and brief to talk about that which I believe is beneficial to all of us, inshallah. As he says, if you have any question, I love discussion, and I love questions actually. So if you have any question, inshallah, I will be willing to address those questions according to my ability. To begin, I will start with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Man tasharat al-fahishatu fi qawmin hatta yu'linu biha illa fasha fihim al-ta'un wal-awja'u allati lam takun madat fi aslafihim alladhina madaw." There's one beautiful hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, there are five things. If a people do them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will visit them with the opposite and the punishment. One of these things, he says, مَنْ تَشَرَتِ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا. And a fahisha is promiscuity, zina, homosexuality, free mixing, illegal relationship which is against their law, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will never be openly practiced and rampant in the people, except that fasha fihim al-ta'un, a plague and anguish will be, you know, afflicted, you know, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that community. This plague will visit them, and also diseases which are not known to the predecessors, the people before. They don't know these diseases. If we are to tell them some of the things that we are experiencing in our time, I'm pretty sure even our grandparents might not believe in us, in what we are saying. And all of these things, I see them as a clear application of that which is mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the consequences of violating that part of the system given to us by Rabbul Alameen. Everyone who live in our environment knows that we are living in this tragedy. The barrier that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put, the barrier which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put, is being removed. So zina is rampant, illegal relationship is rampant, and it's not easy for a person to be decent in this time of ours. You need a lot of effort to do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. Wherever you go, you have to deal with the opposite gender. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of wisdom and knowing whom He created, He designed this system, which is the only solution for the predicament that we are facing nowadays. Who is the most harmed person in this dunya of ours? Brothers or the sisters? The sisters. Go and see the statistics given to us by others, not even us, and see on the daily basis. And I'm just actually belittling the situation. Otherwise, the correct, you know, the statement is to say that every single minute or second, there is somebody among the sisters who is being in trouble. So this is actually the result of what we agree to take. We find it so fancy and we don't care. We don't care. And the enemies of tranquility and peace and family structure and family life is always happy with this and always bringing these systems and promoting them so that at the end of the day, we will become like their own communities. So it's a very, very, very important for us to understand what is around us and to understand the solution given to us by Rabbul Alameen and to do that solution and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to interfere, to put barakah in our life and to protect us in a way we will meet Him peacefully. Because I believe all of us believe that I think this Zoom doesn't work. Because I believe all of us as a Muslim or even the non-Muslim, we believe in the hereafter. There is an accountability, and every aware and conscious Muslim agree that life here on earth is temporary and also death is imminent, and also it is a matter of fact that this death can come at any time. So the question here is, how am I going to leave this life back to the place which I believe that I have to go back to that place and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to face a heavy accountability and questions about what I did in this dunya of ours? That should be the question. How am I going to exit this life? Since I already know and I believe that I have to exit this life, whether in the younger age or when I grow older. Because subhanAllah, it's very amazing to know that death doesn't recognize ages. You Allah, if you ever deceive yourself that I have to grow, I still have time, wallahi, this is an absolute deception. And that means you don't understand the nature of the planet you're living in. Because we do have kids who died. Not only the children, we do have some of them, actually, they came out of the womb of their mothers dead. And if this situation exists, that means the one who is out already is more closer to death than those ones. So what I'm trying to say is that we should sense this, that we're here for temporary living. This is not a place for enjoyment, to exhaust your opportunity and do that which will destroy your life in this dunya. And also when you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and face the heavy consequences, which you will not be happy with that. Because this is how exactly it is. You're negligent in whatever you want. Life is all about enjoyment. That's why those people who too much attach themselves to social media in the wrong way, when life is not enjoyable anymore, they are faced by a lot of tests from Rabbul Alameen, which He does for us, for wisdom to give you relief from your sins so that a day will come, you will go back to Him free of any responsibilities. But if we are confronted by these type of tests and you are too much attached, to those social media, sites that you visit from time to time, you will be willing to take off your life, which is not our behavior in the past. It's not our behavior in the past. And this comes because you, take that kind of hedonistic life where you believe that it's all about enjoyment. It's all about pleasure. If you don't have it, then there is no value in life. No, life is not like that. And this is actually one of the things that is destroying the marriages, actually. One of the major causes of marriage to be destroyed is because the wife and the husband, they both understand that marriage should be all about pleasure. And this kind of pleasure is restricted to the sexual kind of enjoyment, which is not going to last and is not going to remain. Because your wife will never remain in the way she is. And you also will never remain in the way you are. So if marriage is all about this, and across the time, your body fades, that beauty, that prettiness, that handsomeness is gone, what happens? You will not enjoy living with that spouse of yours. At the end of the day, you will not be happy to stay with her or him, then divorce will take place. No, there are greater objectives attached to the marriage which are sensing their strength from the major objective that we have of our existence here in the dunya, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and go and have a pleasure and the most excellent life. Let me give you this gift, which you already know, but I will just refresh your mind with it. Many people think that the righteous people are depressed and their life is boring. Aqsimu billah. The life of a non-righteous person is boring. But the life of the righteous person is not boring. It's actually the most excellent life. You know why is it the most excellent life? Because one of them said in the US, he said, he's one of the leaders of the US without mentioning his name, he was talking about GDP in economics. He said GDP measures everything in our life except one thing, which is the real thing that makes life worthwhile. What is that? Happiness. We talk about how much the country is earning, how much a person can get, how much. It's all about materialistic kind of approach. But what about what makes you happy? Because I see rich people committing suicide. I see the famous people ending up in drug dealings and killing themselves. I see so many things happening to these guys who are supposed to be the most happiest people. There was a brother who converted to Islam after being one of the top in the gangs, stars in the US, end of accepting Islam. And he says almost everyone in that gang accepted Islam also. SubhanAllah, I love one statement he said one day, he said there was a time I woke up at night, I started questioning myself. I said, I have castles, not houses. He said he has castles and he has the latest version of cars. And he says, I have girls because they were bad, so they have prostitute women any time they want. He said, I have everything. But then he said, I was questioning myself, how come I'm still depressed and I'm not happy? He said, I did not know the answer. Later on, he was guided to Islam. You know, SubhanAllah, we invited him one day in Malaysia to give a lecture to the kids. You know, SubhanAllah, you can see him, you can see the light on his face. And that's what exactly good approach and good life does. I remember one of the non-Muslims, she was visited by one of the young sisters to invite her to Islam. SubhanAllah, I still remember this word said by this sister from the UK, the non-Muslim sister from the UK. She told the sister who went to her, she told the person who sent the sister to her, she said, I can see light and happiness in the heart, in the face of this younger girl. SubhanAllah, she said, I just sense that this girl is happy in her life. And she never met her. She never knew her. But she said she just saw her, but this she sensed that this girl is happy in her life. Why is that? It's Islam. Iwallah, it's Islam. Sulaiman alayhi salam, when Balqis, you know Balqis, right? The queen of Sheba. When she visited him and Al-Hudhud, the bird, when he talked to Sulaiman, it says to Sulaiman, this woman, she has everything that a kingdom needs to be called a civilization. She's one of the great leaders on earth. And then he was praising the kingdom. He was praising how beautiful is the place where she has. But SubhanAllah, when she came to Sulaiman alayhi salam, she entered the place where Sulaiman exists. She became like somebody who is coming from a village. His place, this is where the most advanced technology exists. Not exaggerating. The most advanced technology. The best. The most sophisticated one. What she is proud of having, that throne, Sulaiman asked somebody to bring it within the blink of an eye. And you know, they were not bringing it based on magic. No, it was a knowledge used by the one who brought it. Because Allah says the one who has knowledge brought it within the blink of an eye. Which technology in our time has the capacity to do that nowadays? That's why some scholars said in the past, the kind of advancement they have in those days and accuracy, up to date, we don't get it. Allah says, وَعَمَرُوهَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا عَمَرُوهَا. What makes this story beautiful is the saying of Sulaiman alayhi salam when Balqis came and she thought she's going to be walking in the river. I can't imagine what exactly she saw in that palace. Sulaiman told her, no worries. You know, she started taking off her skirt. He said, no, it wasn't. Just walk, it's a normal place. You know. So Sulaiman said, this throne that she has, which was brought before she came, she asked them to upgrade. He asked them to upgrade it. It's obsolete, outdated. They fixed it for her. When she came, Sulaiman asked her, does this one look like your arsh? She said, كَأَنَّهُ هُ. It looks like it. It's not the same, but it looks like it. Sulaiman said, this is a message for all of us. He said, وَأُوتِينَ الْعِلْمَ مِنْ قَبْلِهَا وَكُنَّ مُسْلِمِينَ. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us knowledge before her. وَكُنَّ مُسْلِمِينَ. Because we are Muslims. SubhanAllah. I love this one. He attached this advancement in technology with Islam. And that's the absolute truth. And that's why the life of a person who goes out of the instructions of Rabbul Alameen, Allah, is boring. Is full of depression and stress. And he will never relax. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever stays away from my instruction and my command, we let him face the consequences of life alone. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be involved in your life, otherwise you cannot survive. Iwallah, you need Allah to be involved in your life. This dunya of ours, you cannot live alone. I believe every one of us understand what I'm saying. This dunya of ours, full of criminals, surrounded by criminals from every dimension, you cannot live alone. You need Rabbul Alameen to be standing between you and others. And only when you are religious, you get this privilege. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the good news I said I will give you. He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَىٰ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةٍ طَيِّبًا. Every single person that lives on earth, whether he agrees or he disagrees, what he is looking for in every movement he is making in this dunya, every movement he's making in this dunya, he is looking for sa'ada, a pleasant life, to stay away from worry in this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you the only way for you to get it is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whatever he asks you to believe in, and to put that faith into practice and action. He said, if you do that, I promise to give you a pleasant life in this dunya, whereby you have peace of mind, tranquility of the heart. Everyone is worried, you don't have the worry. And you will never get into a situation that is complicated without having the solution for that from Rabbul Alameen. That's the good thing about being a religious person. Don't worry, life is temporary. Wallahi, you will never lose. You have the control of your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Whenever you need, you get what you need. And on top of all, when you leave this life, you go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and get the best. I guess this should be the choice of every single Muslim. Whether you study in, what is the name of this university? Taylor's? I don't want to make a mistake. Next time the security will tell me you mess up our name, you will never get in. So having said that, I needed to make this introduction before I start the topic. Right. Having said that, then it is part of our responsibility to look for.
Is it possible if you can bring it the mic closer to your mouth? Because it's a little hard.
All of these huge aeroplane. At least reduce the sound. It's really. Alhamdulillah. Look for the silent one. Keep the silent one. The other one, I don't think we need it yet. But anyway, I'm okay with this one. Alhamdulillah, my ears now can relax. The other side, if they're annoyed, they can look for their right from him. Anyway, so a Muslim should be looking for a solution. What could possibly be the solution? You know, one of the solutions being given to us by the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the marriage. It is so important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right after the creation of Adam alayhi salam, he did not let him stay alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. Naturally, a man cannot be comforted. Sorry, brothers. Huh? You cannot be in a state of comfort without a wife. Adam alayhi salam, more righteous than us, more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we created for him a wife so that he will be comforted by her. So that shows important. And because of it, it's important. In the time of Adam alayhi salam, since the population is very little, very limited, a brother can marry his biological sister because there is no any other way to make it except if that was legalized for him. So a brother can marry his sister, that was okay. Later on, when the population grew bigger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banned it and closed it. The Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is strictly prohibited. You cannot marry your sister. She has to look for somebody out of the family and marry. And you also have to look for somebody else. There are many things to say from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to talk about the importance of marriage. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, he says, لَوْ لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنْ عُمُرُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا عَشْرَةَ أَيَّامٍ. He said, if there is nothing left for the dunya to finish except 10 days. I know that only 10 days left in the dunya. After 10 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take off everything. He said, وَلِي طَوْلٌ فِي الزَّوَاجِ. And I have money to marry. He knows that only 10 days left. He said, I will definitely make sure that I marry before the dunya finished. He said, if I have only 10 days left, and I have something to use for my marriage, he said, I will definitely marry before the dunya finished. So as I said, we have from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot, and from the Quran, a lot to support the importance of the marriage. And I believe every Muslim knows how important it is a marriage. It's one of the greatest systems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plays to protect our community from these illegal practices, illegal relationships. Because naturally we have this desire. If you have a person that doesn't have a desire, either he is lying or he is sick. Because this is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. So to have desire is not deficiency in human beings. Deficiency exists when you don't control the desire and put it in the right place. You get it? To have desire is not deficiency. Deficiency is not to control this desire, to put it in the wrong place, which you end up in putting the community in a state of trouble. So it helps us, marriage helps the community to be protected and well preserved. Because trust me, if zina is rampant in a community, you should expect a lot of diseases and social illnesses and crimes to be committed in that community. Because awladu zina, children who are born out of wedlock, usually they don't have somebody to take care of them properly. And they will be the one who will be wandering around. Since there is no proper education being given to them, then you should expect every evil to come from those kind of people in the community. That's why Islam has zero tolerance towards adultery and fornication. Zero tolerance. To save the human beings and to save the sisters first and foremost, actually. Because the one who is being victimized is not the brothers the most, are the sisters. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab. Ya ma'ashar al-shabab. Man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. He called upon the shabab. He said, whoever can afford marriage among you should marry. Who is a shab? By definition. When we say a shab, who is a shab? Young man, who is young man? When do I start calling a person a young man or a shab? Puberty. Huh? Puberty. When? Tell me by age. 15 years old. That's why the scholar said the invitation from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam start from what age? 15 years old. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us, are we supposed to listen? How many people are married here? Don't be shy. Save the time for my lecture, please. How many people are married here? I know one. Only one. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Who is the youngest person here? Musab. Musab, you are the youngest one. Oh, I'm taking... Okay, how old are you, Musab? 18. Yeah, quite young. Yeah. So he's how many years late? 3 years. And... Allah, thank you very much for that. Alhamdulillah. So 3 years, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you marry, he said, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَلُودَ الْوَدُودَ فَإِنِّي مُكَاثِرٌ بِكُمُ الْأُمَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Said, I want to be proud of your size on the day of judgment. So that means because of Musab, we lost how many people? Three. I want you to make the analogy, you who are older than Musab, right? To see how much you are causing us deficiency in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Should I say, may Allah guide you? Yes. Yes. This is dua, right? Yeah. But please take it seriously. Early marriage is good. And there is no contradiction actually between education and marriage. Let me tell you some secrets. Please don't share with your parents. Yeah. You can talk to them and fight them, but don't tell them you got it from me. Yeah. I have enough of the knock on my head. You know. It is part of your right for your parent to support your marriage and sponsor your marriage from A to Z, actually. It's part of the nafaqa. They have to do. And there is no contradiction between education and marriage. And actually, believe it or not, marriage makes you smarter than before. If there is anyone who is facing problem in his education due to lack of focus, trust me, after marriage, usually these type of things change. So it's time for you to open your eyes, to go and sit with your parents. If they are the obstacle, beg them. If they don't want to understand and you're still, you know, blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have your grandparents who are still alive, go to them. Approach your grandfather. He will call your father and tell him, let so and so and so marry. The reason why I'm using the grandparents, because in their time, they have these early marriages. They don't understand what we're talking about. And trust me, I believe it is the best approach for our community nowadays. To protect ourselves and to protect our brothers and sisters and to protect the community. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever amongst you who can afford marriage, he said al-ba'a. Al-ba'a means financially capable and physically also capable to be with a wife. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said you should marry. He said if you cannot afford it, he said فَإِنَّهُ أَقَدُّ لِلْبَصَرِ. It helps you to lower your gaze. And also it helps you to protect your private part. Because you have a place to relieve your desire. If you can do that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you should fast. فَإِنَّهُ لَهُ وِجَاءُ. Because fasting will be a deterrent for you. And it can only be a deterrent if you do it correctly. I got a person who told me that he tried to fast. He fasts actually every day. But still, his desire is very strong. The first thing I blame is the environment he's living. Because you cannot look for remedy and you're still taking the poison. I want the medicine, the doctor is giving me the medicine, but I'm still taking the poison. It doesn't work. So the first thing I should take, the first step is to stay away from anything that can provoke the desire, limit it my going to the place. You might be living in a place which you have to come and do ihtikaf with the opposite gender. What to do in this case? Minimize your going out. Be in your room. Be in the places where you need. And that's it. So you can finish your education bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla peacefully without destroying your attitude, your behavior, which you're going to regret in the future, especially this is their side. You regret in the future and nobody's there to help and support you. So fasting should be done correctly. And you are supposed also to support the fast for it to be active and effective on you. I share with you a story when I was one of the members in the disciplinary department in the school. We got a complaint. Usually how it works is that the teacher, when he or she has problem with the student, they will take the form and fill it with the name of the student and the crime the student is committing. So this teacher, she wrote the complaint that this boy is not focusing in the class. Yeah, this boy is in grade 8. So we usually ask the boy to come and ask him to reply. We give him the complaint of the teacher. What would be your reply? This boy replied, very nice reply that caused me to tell the discipline master, please, this complaint should be cast in the garbage, please. No complaint against him. But we did not tell the teacher that. He said, sir, I know, yes, I'm not focusing in the class, but what really happened was, I did something wrong. For her to punish me, she put me in the middle of the sisters, then I lost my focus. So we laughed. This younger boy, but he says, she put me in the middle of the sisters, then I lost control. Was he speaking the truth? Salam. Jamaat, what is the name of the tailors? Of course he was speaking the truth. Yeah. So this is just like what they say in Arabic, أَلْقَاهُ فِي الْيَمِّ مَكْتُوفًا وَقَالَ لَهُ إِيَّاكَ إِيَّاكَ أَن تَبْتَلَّ بِالْمَاءِ. You bring a person and you tie his hand. You tie his leg, and you throw him in a river from up, and you tell them, "Wallah, if you touch water, I will punish you." And listen, release him, right? He can run and walk in the air to see if maybe he can fly and escape the punishment, but you tie him. You put him in a place and you want him to do what you wanted him to do, it would never happen. So we have to be cooperative to that fasting to take place and be effective on us. The reason why it is not effective nowadays, it is because we don't do it correctly. And we do it, and also we still get involved in those things which are putting us into trouble. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you can't, he said you fast, because fasting will be acting as a deterrent for you. So now I guess nobody among us who is not aware of the importance of marriage, and inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, that next year I'm going to come to this place, I will see the section for the kids, right? For your children. I'm not joking, and I guess you also, you're not joking. So please take it, see this matter. Yeah, do it. Marriage is an honor. Wallahi, marriage is an honor. I see whoever is not married as a miskeen person. I'm very sorry to say this, but I see whoever is not married as a miskeen person and somebody who is confused. And also, anyway, you might disagree, but the focus I see on people who are married is much greater than the people who are not married. Marriage is an honor. It's a very beautiful mini paradise if you do it correctly. And this is what we'll be discussing. If you do it correctly, marriage is a small mini paradise. You know. But if you don't do it correctly, that would be like Mishatamichi. You know. You will never relax. You will believe that you wish, you know, to stay in the kind of life you used to be before the marriage. So we all know the importance of marriage. How to marry. So if we're talking about how to marry, then we have to talk about who to be with as your partner. So first of all, good intention has to be there. And your intention, this is my first proposal for you. Your intention with marriage should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should be number one. Dealing with a woman is not easy. I know they will get angry. Dealing with a man is not easy. Both. To deal with a man is not easy. To deal with a woman is not easy. These two different mentalities and different feeling when they meet together, it's not easy. That's why nowadays, like what one of our scholars said, he started to believe that there is no house on earth that there is no mashakil problem between the marital couples. Even amongst the student of knowledge. A lot of mashakil, a lot of issues. And why is that? Because we miss the correct approach when we are choosing our partners. And people are not listening. You know, sometimes it takes you hours to convince a person that this is the correct method to be followed. But the later on, when he gets into trouble, he comes and talks to you about the solutions. So the first thing is the intention. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be involved. You're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second intention should be to protect yourself from the evil consequences of not using your desire properly. The third is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your house, to establish a community of Allah's remembrance in the house. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I used to sometimes, even if I don't have desire, I force myself to have desire towards my wife so that maybe we can have a child who will come and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason why the scholar said, one of the major causes of the divorce and clashes at home, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not involved in our marriage. The next is how to identify the person that is supposed to be your partner. As a brother, you are looking for the mother of your children. That's your future life. Please put a line on this. You're looking for the mother of your children in the future. That's your future life. The reason why I stress on the future is because most of us are looking at the present. And after a few days, what happens? That thing which he's looking, which motivated him to marry the sister, is not in existence anymore. And then lack of tolerance will exist. And they will never enjoy life, both of them. But if you have burden nazar, you're looking at the future. what could possibly happen in the future, then you take a person who you believe, bi-idhnillah, Azza wa Jalla, she will support your plans in the future. So you want to have good and excellent progeny, you have to make a proper foundation. As a sister, you're looking for somebody who will be the father of your kids. Good example for the kids. The one that you don't need to hide them from seeing him because of his evil manners and behaviors. And you're looking for somebody who you will be believing that, yes, you have somebody next to you. Because this is one of the mistakes that we are making when we're looking for spouses. Man is looking for what the woman is looking for, and the woman is looking for what the man is looking for. Are we looking for the same thing together? Male and the female, are they both looking for the same thing in marriage? No, they're not. So let me ask the brothers, and also you can answer on behalf of the sisters if you wish, and they will say you're wrong. Yeah. What is a brother looking with a marriage? What are you looking for? Naturally, not to individual interest. I know, don't tell me, yes, I'm looking for somebody like this and that. No. Usually, what is the main purpose of a marriage? What should you be looking for, actually? Peace, comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank you very much. In the Quran, Allah says, we gave him a wife so that he would be comforted. So what are you looking for? Comfort. Somebody who can be acting as a place of comfort for you. I'll give you one example. And inshallah, it's more than enough for you to make analogy by yourself. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he first experienced seeing Jibreel in the cave of Hira. True? That was the first time he saw Jibreel alayhi salam. True? Yes. When he saw Jibreel, was he happy with Jibreel? Assalamu alaikum, welcome, ahlan wa sahlan, you know? Was it like that? No, he was traumatized. But there's no way for him to run away. Jibreel asked him, Iqra. He said, Ma ana biqari. He said, فَأَخَذَنِي فَقَطَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّ الْجَهْدَ. He held the Prophet and folded him. He said, I perceive death. He said in some narration, I feel that my ribs are going to cross each other. He pressed him so much. And then he released him. He said, read. The Prophet told him the same thing. Three times it was happening. And then he let him alone and recited five ayat of Surah Al-Alaq for him. So Rasulullah remembered them. Of course, he would never forget them. He got this punishment, he would never forget them. Where did he go? To his friends? To his office? To the marketplace? Went to the river and committed suicide? Never did that. Where did he go? His wife. Wallahi, my dear brothers, this is a very good lesson for all of us. Why did he go to the house? Because he knows he has somebody who is a place of comfort for him. Did she do the job? Yes. You know, when she met him, Rasulullah was scared. This part of his body is moving. You know, when a person is really traumatized, when you see this part is moving, that's mean the heart is really shaking so much. When Khadija saw him, she said, what happened? And then he started telling her the story. Khadija was listening. She wasn't traumatized. She listened carefully, and then she told him, no, relax, I don't see it in this way. Subhanallah, positive thinking. She told him, I don't see it in this way. She said, no, Allah will never put you in this situation. She wasn't a Muslim at that time, right? Because this is the first time Rasulullah saw someone encounter an angel. But smartness is smartness, you know. Adab is there, even in Jahiliyyah time. Rasulullah was not married to an idiot or a dumb person. He's married to a very smart person. So she told him, actually it's nothing. I don't see it except in the positive way. Allah will never neglect you. Allah will never embarrass you. Allah will never do this to you. Because you are like this, you are like this, you are like this, you are like this. And then she told him, to make it easier for you to understand, I have somebody who has experiences in these things more than me. Let's go to him and have a meeting with him. Subhanallah, she took him to Waraqa. What was a trauma, now it became a blessing, something that the Prophet ﷺ enjoys. He went out looking for Jibreel alayhi salam. Did she do the job? Yes. As I always give this example, medical doctors sometimes, when you go to them, they know you are in a very big problem. But they will listen to you. And they will tell you, inshallah, you'll be okay. Right? To give you comfort. Imagine if you go to the medical doctor and you're crying, you know, explaining to him, and he also starts crying. No, honestly speaking, would you be comfortable to continue mentioning that to him? He will go out. Yeah. But they will remain calm. They will tell, they know maybe according to their signs, your days are numbered. You might be dying in a few days. They just cannot tell you that, but they will tell you, inshallah, we'll try our best. We'll try our best to see you survive, inshallah. So that was done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This shows that a person should choose somebody who can grant him the comfort. As a brother, this is what you're looking for. A smart person that can help you to get relief from all the obstacles and pressure you got when you are out of the house. When you're coming back from the work to the house, what are you looking for? Place of comfort, to relax, to forget everything. If your wife is not like that, that's why some of us will stay in the office until 12 a.m. at night. And I'm not going to blame anyone, but sometimes I wonder, why would I stay in the office until very late at night? Is that clear? How about the sisters? What are they supposed to be looking for? Protection. They call it a diff. Having the feeling and the belief that she's next to somebody who cares for her. That's why, who got tired of marriage the most? Brothers or the sisters? Sisters. Brothers don't get tired of marriage. Sisters get tired of it. That's why they remember when the marriage happens. And you remember when the marriage happened? You don't. Seriously, they remember. You don't. You are counting the seconds before the marriage, when is it going to happen. But right after the marriage, you forgot. She remembers. This is who we are. That's why when Abdullah ibn Abbas said, Maymuna married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was performing Umrah, and Maymuna said, no, we married when he was in a Mu'tamir. The scholars took her opinion because she remembers even maybe more than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will ask her. As I told some of you that, when I went to register my child to get the birth certificate, the guy asked me, did you bring the marriage certificate? I said, all of my children, I wasn't asked about this. He said, yes, it's true. But now we have the new law, new system, that you have to bring this. I said, no problem. I have, but I have to go back then. He said, no, I don't need it physically. I just need the date of marriage. When did you marry? I told him, that's mushkila. Wallahi, he asked me, I told him I forgot. He said, ask your family. I called them. When I asked them, you know, they did not think. They told me exactly when was it. Then I go back to that debate of the scholars. I favor the opinion of the majority of the scholars that yes, the Prophet ﷺ married Maymuna when he was in a muhrim because she said it. Almost talking. 5 minutes. You get it? So what the sister is looking for is what we call a diff. The problem lies when she started looking for what the brother is wanting, and the brother started looking for what the sisters are looking for, then they're going to have a lot of clashes in marriage. So to cut the story short, you really need a lot of thinking. Don't rush when choosing a spouse. Trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, out of love I'm saying this to you. You will cry like the way I see people crying. I just cannot share with you the moment I see people crying because of the marriages. And they were married to people who they never expect them to be like this. But marriage became like hell for them. But if you were to ask them to tell you about the way they married, you will say, yeah, no wonder they are facing these type of obstacles. So since most of you are not married yet, I really advise you, it's not too late to change and to think wisely. You're looking for somebody who will be making you happy in the future, in your life. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ said you should be doing. So think wisely before you select the person that you want to be next to you. Whether a brother or the sister. For the brothers. Is that clear, inshallah? The next is how to look for the marriage and how to propose to somebody. Salaam. The voice is reaching me, then I, yeah, sorry. who to propose to and how to propose. You get it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغُضُّنَّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. This is the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised and commanded both to lower their gaze. But Islamically, at the same time also, is not recommended for a person to marry somebody that he doesn't know. So there are three things that I will emphasize on, inshallah. I will start and then we stop for the prayer. When I come back, I just continue. Number one, Rasulullah said, usually a woman is being married for one of the four reasons. Either because of the beauty, this is number one, right? Yeah. Or because of the hasab, meaning she has a very nice family background. Somebody wants to be affiliated to those ones. I remember, subhanAllah, there was a boy that I told him about, a sister who was looking for a spouse. I told him, we have a sister like this and she belongs to this family. SubhanAllah, he was so happy. He said, it's an honor for me to have a connection to this family. This is exactly what the Prophet said. Sometimes because of the position, she's in the government, she's in the politics. Sometimes because of the wealth, she's rich. Also, we have a lot of people who are married to sisters because they are rich. And sometimes a person married because of the deed. Rasulullah said, I advise you to take somebody who has deed. You will be successful. That's number one. Deen. Number two, good manners. Deen also includes good manners, but sometimes we need to separate between the two. Because we might find a person who is very dedicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when it comes to relationship with others, very bad. Is it true? Yes. In the masjid, mashallah, every time in the masjid, giving khutbah, giving talks, student of knowledge and whatever, but then when it comes to life with others, a'udhu billah. It's like you are dealing with shaitan. Seriously. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should get somebody who has deen and also at the same time has good manners. Two things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned when he says, إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوا. But the brothers also and the sisters are looking for somebody, they should also focus on deen and good manners. These are the only things mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The next that we can add, which we take also from other nusus, is to see that person, to look at him or her, to see whether you will be comfortable to stay with him or not. And beauty and ugliness is subjective. Is it true? That's why what Mazen sees, and he says, MashaAllah. If Waqas sees, he will say, A'udhu Billahi. He will not, that's true. Mazen might see something and say, I'm willing to pay anything to get this. Waqas will say, even a single cent, I will not pay for this. That's the reason why when looking for a spouse, who should do the job for you? Yourself. And you shouldn't care about what some people are saying. I'm mentioning this because I know according to some of the cultures, your mother has to agree with the beauty of your wife. Your brothers also sometimes they have to agree. Well, I don't know. Why do we stick to those cultures up to date? Because in those cultures, I see a sister just like a product that you go and buy in the marketplace. Otherwise, it doesn't even make sense that I want to marry a sister, but then my brothers, they have to come and see and look at her. It's just like I bought the car, they come and see whether it's okay or not. You will like, that's how I see it. She has to come, they have to approve first. If they don't approve, then nobody will side with me in that marriage. And that's wrong. Islam wants you to go and see first. If you agree, you take. Your father agree, he doesn't agree, that's his business. Because what somebody agrees with, you might not agree with. So that's why, since you are the one who will be staying with that person, you should be the one who will go and look at that person to see whether you will be satisfied in living with them or not. So these are the only three things I know in Islam that Islam says you must make sure that you fulfill them before you propose to marry somebody. Religion, good manners, and also the look according to you or according to her. So inshallah, in the next session, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, after the prayer, I will shed light on this and then move forward, inshallah. Thank you very much. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.